In her latest bombshell, former Trump advisor and Apprentice TV star Omarosa Manigault-Newman has revealed that she's been interviewed by special counsel Robert Mueller as part of the ongoing Russia investigation. Yesterday, she released audio of Trump campaign workers. She said, "We're talking about how to handle news of a tape from The Apprentice on which Trump used the N-word." Former campaign spokesperson Katrina Pearson said there was no such discussion, and then hours later, Manigault-Newman released this with Pearson speaking.
"I'm trying to find out at least what context it was used in to help us maybe try to figure out a way to spin it."
Yesterday in the White House briefing room, reporters had this exchange with Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders about Donald Trump's alleged use of the slur.
"Can you stand at the podium and guarantee the American people they'll never hear Donald Trump utter the N-word on a recording in any context?"
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it. I can also tell you that if..."
For more, we're joined now by Karine Jean-Pierre, Democratic strategist. Welcome, Karine.
Thank you so much.
Also, Alice Stewart, Republican strategist and CNN political commentator. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Robin and Lisa. Great to be here. Mm-hmm.
Alice, you first. How would you have advised Sarah Huckabee Sanders? People are saying that if she could not guarantee that there is no tape of the president using this racial slur or having used it, what kind of a position is she in? And how would you advise her from here on out?
The most important thing anytime you walk into the briefing room is you know what the questions are going to be. You go right to the principal, who is the president, and ask him directly the answers to these questions. And if you cannot be guaranteed a straight answer, then you're in a difficult spot. And you need to have the confidence walking in a briefing room or a press conference or a conference call with reporters and have the utmost confidence that the information you're providing to them is 100% factually accurate and above board. And with that, you know, the truth is always the best answer. And she would have better served herself and the president and America, really, if she was able to unequivocally say yes or no to those questions, and preferably no, absolutely not. He's never said that word and there is no tape of it. But given the fact that we don't know the truth, this is the situation that we're in.
Do you have confidence that she is asking the president those questions before she speaks with the press?
No, I don't. And a lot of times you have defense attorneys that don't ask their clients, you know, are they guilty of a crime, because they want the plausible deniability. And I think we see that oftentimes. It's better to not know and say, not to my knowledge or to the best of my knowledge is better than in saying something that's not true. But the problem is, as a communications person, your role and your responsibility is to communicate information to the American people, and that's not happening.
Well, and because people are here, what they're hearing is, if you can't say no, that there would never be this tape and he would never say this, then the answer is yes. And most people feel, at least most people, I think, in, you know, most circles, feel that they could say absolutely that of the people they work for or who they live with, no, they would never use that word. So that's raised questions. But Karine Jean-Pierre, yes. You know, Democrats have been kind of quiet on this. Is that the best thing for them to do right now? Just let this unfold, because it's just become, it's like watching a car accident.
Exactly. I think it's just a car accident that's happening with Donald Trump, his administration, on the Republican side. And I think it serves us better to just let it unravel the way that it is. And we have an election. I think November for Democrats, for this country, is so important. And every day with the behavior of this president, you see how important it is. And so that is the focus, making sure we take back, you know, we win those 23 House seats, making sure that we protect those vulnerable Democrats in red states, making sure that we elect statewide, local candidates across the country. And I just wanted to add, I think it says a lot in the question with the question on Sarah Sanders and not being able to categorize categorically deny and say the president did not use the N-word, which is really remarkable since we are living in 2018, that she was not able to do that. And we know, watching Sarah Sanders this past year behind the podium in the White House, in that White House press briefing room, that she does stick her neck out in many, many times, even on things she doesn't, she's not sure that is true or not, making her look like a liar many times. And so for her to not say that she couldn't guarantee that he did not say the N-word, I think says volumes, just watching Sarah Sanders this past year.
I want to ask Alice one last question, and we swore to each other, Lisa, we were not going to let this whole Omarosa gate, take up the whole segment, but it is so compelling. And I have to make a correction. Yesterday on the air, I think I said that the campaign workers heard the tape. They did not. They heard about the tape, and they were discussing what to do with the tape. But Alice, I just wonder if anybody who watched The Apprentice at all knows that Omarosa was always set up as the villain of that show. Mm-hmm. She was like the Cruella de Vil of the Apprentice. And then it was stunning to see the president embrace her and bring her into his campaign, which makes me and some people wonder, well, is there still maybe something like that going on now? I mean, how could he have hired Omarosa, given the way he's speaking about her now and given the role that she played of villain? Maybe there's something else going. Do you worry that there's another shoe to drop about the relationship between these two people?
In my view, I have viewed their relationship, as a mutual admiration society, which they've cashed in their membership. But she used him and he used her. She used him to have access and power and to be able to certainly be able to have wedding showers at the White House. And he used her as a way to bridge into the African-American community and give the appearances that he is trying to make inroads with that community. And it's not a surprise that we have had two former reality TV stars, for all intents and purposes, were backstabbing, fame-seeking, money-grubbing people, and the stars have collided. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Omarosa any more than I trust a lot of things that have happened here, but if she had a tape of this, I can't imagine that she wouldn't have already released it. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe a lot of what she says, but if she can produce a tape, then we're in a whole different situation.
The reports are she's trying to get the tape from The Apprentice. So let's mm-hmm. let that one go. Lisa, let's move on to something else.
President Trump signed a $716 billion defense bill on Monday. The bill is named after Senator John McCain. Here the president is speaking at Fort Drum.
After years of devastating cuts, we're now rebuilding our military like we never have before, ever.
We want to note that the president made no mention of Senator McCain, who was undergoing treatment for brain cancer. He issued, though, what's called a signing statement, where he objected to four of the eight provisions in the bill. This is just after he signed the bill, and they have to do with Russia. Corrine, I wonder what you and how you would advise Democrats to respond to that caveat.
I mean, it's not surprising. His relationship with Russia is, incredibly troubling because Russia is clearly our adversary. They attacked, they cyber attacked our election, as we all know, 2 years ago in 2016, and they continue to do so. And I have to say something about John McCain, him not even mentioning John McCain. You don't have to be a Republican or Democrat. It's not a partisan issue. John McCain is a hero. He was literally blown out of the sky. He gave his body to this country, his life to this country. And to not have mentioned him when Congress purposefully named this after him is just shows how little he is. And it's problematic. The man is clearly, as you just mentioned, has cancer. He's on his deathbed. No, I shouldn't say that. Let me take that back. But he is he's fighting a very serious fight. And just the lack of respect is so troubling. He's a patriot.
Well, and Alice, what about the refusal to follow some of the provisions in the bill that he lauded, including not supporting Russia in its annexing of Crimea? It kind of, and this is, I guess, what we've been saying, that this all kind of went by the wayside because of the Omarosa story. But smart move. I mean, it just adds to this perception.
there will always be questions about the motives behind what is happening with this administration in Russia. But let's just, I think the key component of this is to applaud Republicans and Democrats in the Senate for working together in a bipartisan fashion to pass the John S. McCain National Defense Authorization Act. And, you know, the key components of this is to reinforce our military and especially put funding for artificial intelligence and lasers that are critical to combating China and Russia. And I think it's important for senators to really push back if there's going to be any kind of withdrawing funding or shifting some of these priorities. We really need to call attention to it and ask the questions, why is this happening and what will this do for our ability to fight against Russia and China?
Oh, well, we're running out of time here, so I guess we can't further discuss Omarosa. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Lisa and Robin.
Say by the bell.
Republican strategist Alice Stewart, Democratic strategist Karine Jean-Pierre. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks again.